We'll review some the first parts of chapter 62, and we'll pick up from where we left off. Rabbi Nazar began with a statement where he said, "You should know that when Jews eat, it brings about a union, a unification between Hashem and the Shekhinah face to face." And he brought a pasuk to show it, and he said, "However, this is only if the eating is a pure eating. If we're talking about eating food that's already been purified, it doesn't have anything negative mixed into it. Whereas a food that has a mixture of good and bad, that kind of food can actually cause a person to sin." Then Rabbi Nazar went on to say that the purification of food is accomplished through emuna. And then he opened up a discussion about emuna, that what Hashem has given us the ability to understand, it's a major mitzvah for a person to sharpen their mind and to try to understand it as best as they possibly can. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, v'da mashetoshuv l'apikoyres, that you need to know how to respond to certain questions, even certain questions that are coming from heresy or heretics. And then he went on to say that there are different kinds of questions. There are questions for which we can understand the answers for them now in this world. And there are questions for which we cannot understand the answers to them. And those questions which we have the ability to understand, it's a mitzvah for the person to do whatever they can to get that knowledge, to be able to understand it. Whereas the things that we can't understand now, a person needs to know there not to attempt, not to try to understand it, because it could get them into big trouble, but rather to switch gears, to shift into emuna mode. And then Rabbi Nazar spoke about serving Hashem with both Yetzers, with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, meaning that there's this battle, this tug of war going on inside of a person between good and bad. And as long as that tug of war is going on, we refer to the person's heart as being divided, cholak libam. Whereas what a person really wants to do is to try to get to a level where even the negative side, the Yetzer Hara, has become completely subservient and subdued to the Yetzer Tov, and they're working together in tandem. Then Rabbi Nazar mentioned that Yediya comes from the Yetzer Tov, not recognition of Hashem comes from the Yetzer Tov, and the concealment of Hashem is caused by the Yetzer Hara. That's another term for the apikursis and these questions that the Yetzer Hara imposes on a person, causing the person to question Hashem in a wrong type of way. Then Rabbi Nazar went on to say that the tikkun for this machlokis in the heart is to correct it at its source. And he went on to say that the source of all of these questions and all of this tug of war between good and bad actually originates from machlokis digdusha, from the machlokis that takes place between the rabbis in the Gemara, the rabbis in the Mishnah, where we know that in most Mishnahs, there's debate. One rabbi says kosher, the other one says pasul. One says tameh, the other one says tohar. One says osur, the other one says mutar. And when a Jew studies halacha, or Rabbi Nazar refers to it as poiskim, the limur ha-poiskim, which gives the person the ability to resolve those machlokeses, to be able to come to a final decision and make peace between these opposing opinions in the Gemara, through that study, a person is zoicha also to have the opposition, the confusion that's taking place in the heart, to be able to have that resolved also through the study of poskim, the study of halacha. Then we're doing a review for those that joined us in the middle. We're reviewing the beginning of chapter 62, which we covered the last shiur that we had, and we're going to begin from paragraph 5 in chapter 62, which is what we're up to. Okay, then Rabbi Nazar went on to say, however, regarding those questions for which we cannot provide the answer now, the human mind is not equipped now to resolve those questions, there the person must fortify themselves with emuna. And Rabbi Nazar went on to say that when the emuna is solid, is really strong, that person can be zoche through his eating to bring about a union between Hashem and the Shekhinah. As the Pasuk says, Ure'ei Emuna, be nourished through Emuna, making the connection between the eating and the Emuna. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that the real perfection and beautification of Emuna is when people who are originally distant from Hashem, far from Hashem, when they come close, even non-Jews, even non-believers, idol worshippers, when they come to accept the Jewish faith and to unite with us, to serve Hashem as one, that's Shleimus Soemuna. And Rabbeinu Zal said, now we're up to paragraph 4, Rabbeinu Zal said, in order to achieve this, in order to be able to bring people who are far from Hashem, far from faith in Hashem, close, we first have to elevate the sparks of the letters of speech. And when those letters are refined and perfected, then the speech turns around and gathers up holy sparks that have fallen into the hands of the klipos, into the hands of tumah, gathers them up and removes them. And when these holy sparks have been removed from the klipos are left without energy, without life. And when that happens, all the idol worshippers, all the non-Jews who were drawing their spiritual strength from the klipos, when they see that their source is empty, that it has no power, they reject their false faiths and they accept the faith in Hashem. Just like the Pasuk says, Bayom Hahu, on that day in the future, Yashlich Ha'odon Es Elilei Kaspoi Ves Elilei Zohavoi, the people will throw away their idols of gold and silver and they will attach themselves to faith in Hashem. And the Pasuk says also, Oz Ehepoich el ho'amim sofa brura. Hashem says, then I will turn the speech, I'll turn around the speech of the nations and I'll make it into a pure speech. Meaning, this refers to that Dibur that was refined from among them. The letters of Dibur that was extracted from them, those letters turn around and they go back in order to extract holy sparks, holy souls from there. And then we see the fulfillment of that pasuk, Likroi Kulam B'Shem Hashem, that all nations join Klal Yisrael in calling out to Hashem, the one Hashem. This is where we got up to in the previous year. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go into a beautiful explanation as to how this works. How do we elevate these sparks of Dibur, of speech? Paragraph Hey in chapter 62. Ulahalois nitzoitze hadibur. In order to raise up these sparks of speech, these letters that have fallen down into tuma, into negative, tzorich letainus. This requires fasting. Vezebechinas, this is what's hinted to in the pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, Miderech pishom umeavoinoiseyem yisanu. From their sinful, their path of sin, they will fast. That will lead them to fast, which we know is one of the major ways of rectifying and correcting the damage that's caused by sin. So the pasuk says there, Miderech pishom umeavoinoiseyem yisanu, and the pasuk continues, Yishlach dvoroi, and this will cause his speech to be sent out, meaning ki ikar tikun hadibur hual yedei hatainus. One of the main ways that a person corrects and elevates speech is through fasting. Ki ikar yenikas haklipois einoi elo meachoyrei hakedusha. There's a very important rule that's mentioned in Sifrei Kabbalah that the forces of tumah can only draw from the back of holiness. They cannot draw from the front, what's called ponim. They cannot draw from the face, from a frontal view. They can only attack and draw power from the back. Just like lahavdil, when we speak about people fighting, if you have a person who's strong, Usually, somebody wants to attack that person. They can't attack them from the front because the person knows how to defend themselves. But from the back, from behind, it's much easier to attack the person. So too, Lahavdil, when the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about the klipos, trying to attack and draw energy that they need from holiness, it's we're usually told that they always draw from the back. Elo lifa'omim. However, mipnei hakedusha yefshel lahem linoik, because from the face, from the front of the kedusha, these klipos cannot draw machmas behirus oyer, because of the fact that the light is so bright, and these klipos, they thrive in darkness, in absence of light, or when there's a weakness of the light. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ela lefomim, however, occasionally, noisnin lohem milemalo bimechuvon koyach linoik mipnei akdusha, sometimes, from above, from heaven, they give these klipos, Hashem intentionally gives these klipos the ability to draw from the front of the kedusha, from the face. However, v'chol ze einoy elo l'ra'lohem. However, this does not end up benefiting them. This ends up bringing about their downfall. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Koheles, eis asher sholat ha'odom ba'odom, there are times when a person rules over another person, l'ra'loy, to their own detriment. We have the famous example of Haman in the story of Purim, where we see in the beginning of the story of Purim, Haman is rising, he's climbing the ladder of success. He's going higher and higher, bigger and bigger. He's drawing from the ponim of Kedusha. But it's all preparing him for a major touchdown, for a major downfall where he's going to splatter completely. It was all actually, it all ended up working to his disadvantage. All of this elevation of people bowing down to him and eliminating Vashti and getting closer and closer to the king all prepared him for his final downfall. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, V'chol hataivois heim bechinas klipois. All materialistic desires are actually an aspect of the klipois, the forces of tuma. Ki hataivois heim moisrois. Because the type of materialistic desires that we're referring to here are things that the person doesn't really need. They are excesses. Meaning, for example, we know that a human being in this world needs to eat in order to live, in order to exist. But that requires a certain minimum amount of eating in order to keep the body alive and functioning correctly, properly, in a healthy way. When we talk about taiva sachila, when we talk about a person eating for the sake of eating, eating because it smells good or it tastes good, it's delicious, or because it's put in front of them, when a person's eating excessively, or they're eating foods that are harmful to them just because it's sweet and it's enjoyable, that kind of thing, that's an example of a taiva, which is really klipa. It's really associated with the forces of tuma, because that's something that's unnecessary. It's completely unnecessary. Ki beloy hataivois yochol haguf lehiskayim. Because without these physical materialistic desires, the body can exist and function well. Another example is excessive sleep. You know, where again, the body needs a certain amount of sleep to be able to function correctly. But a person who takes that to an extreme, they take it to an excess in a wrong kind of way, not only doesn't it add energy, but sometimes it weakens the body. The person becomes sluggish. They're not moving around enough. They're not doing enough exercise. Nimtza, sheheim moisrois l'kiyum aguf. So therefore, these taivois are actually excesses, unnecessary things for the existence of the body. Kemoi haklipois, just like the husks, heim moisrois. They are also extraneous excesses, like the shell on a walnut, that kind of thing. It's moisroy. We don't eat it, we don't use it for anything. You have to break it open and eliminate it in order to get to the fruit. Ki ikar eino yela hapri, because the main thing is only the fruit. V'haklipois hem moisrois. U'kishemizgabrim hataivois al ha'odom. And when the materialistic desires, when the physical desires start overpowering a person, who his gabrus haklipois al hakidusha. That's a form of the klipois, the forces of tumah, overpowering the holiness. The roshei hataivois, the primary physical desires, heim shloisha sorei paroi, are referred to in the Zohar HaKadosh and in the writings of the Arizal as the three officers of paroi. In the story of Yosef HaTzadik, where we see that paroi had a sar hamashkin, he had an officer who was appointed over his drinks, v'ho'ifim, and the baker, v'tabochim, and Potiphar, who was the sar hatabochim, who was the butcher, the main butcher. And the Arizal explains, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, Shehem kone uveshet uveridin. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal discuss this many times, where they speak about paroi and the forces of paroi as being the representatives of the sitra achra, of tumah, of those forces that oppose holiness. And they give us many details as to exactly what role each one plays in this. So the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, and the Arizal speaks about this in his Sefer Likutei Torah, where he expounds on the mitzvahs, on the Chumash, there in two places, in Parshas Lech Lecha, and especially in Parshas Vayeshev. The Arizal goes into a discussion about this in detail, explaining how these three officers of Paro, as they're referred to in the Torah, actually are represented inside the body by the windpipe and the food pipe and the vriden, which are the different pipes, small pipes, that surround the upper part of the windpipe and food pipe. They're like veins over there. Shehem bechinas taivas achila ushtia. They are associated with eating and drinking. Shehem roshim. They are primary in the life of a person in this world. Shekol hataivois nimshochen achreim. And all the other physical desires follow them, are associated with them. We know the Torah speaks about drinking, for example. A person engaging in drinking wine to excess, and that leading to promiscuousness, to sins with women. And again, a person drinks wine, drinks or eats to excess, gorges themselves, and very often that leads to murder in certain circles. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, Shekol hataivois nimshochen achreim. All of the other physical desires follow them. V'yenikosom, and they all draw their power, miparoi, from a spiritual force called paroi, shehu ois yois ha'oiref. Again, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the word paroi is the letters ha'oiref, which refers to the nape of the neck, the back of the neck. Haino me'achoirayim, which is the back. The ikar yinikosom mehadiburim. And these forces of tumah, these forces of the sitrachra, the thing that they are able to draw from the most is speech. The Gemara says, Hachayim v'amoves biyat aloshon, that life and death are in the tongue, in the power of speech. Bechinas achar hadvorim. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, we find in many places in the Torah, it uses the term achar hadvorim ho'ele, after these occurrences. But the word achar also means in back of. And the word dvorim means words, in back of the words. Meaning, ki heim smuchim lo. These klipos, these forces of tumah, are close to that area. They draw from the back. And again, they draw especially from the back of the neck. Rabbeinu Zal is going to mention this, I believe, subsequently. The Arizal speaks about the Meitzar Hagoroin, that the Arizal describes the neck, the throat, as one of the narrowest, most constricted parts in the body. where there's a lot of action going on there. There's the food pipe and the windpipe and the larynx, all of this stuff. And yet it's a very narrow place, very constricted. And we know, again, where there's narrowness, constriction, that's where the klipos draw from. That's where they draw power from. It's brought that the word, and again, Mitzrayim is Miloshin Meitzar HaGoroim, the constriction of the throat. The word Goroim, it's brought, is Bigimatria three times Elokim, referring, Elokim is always Hashem's name for din, judgment, and again, referring to these three forces, the Elokim that's associated with the windpipe, with the food pipe, and the Viridin. The Elokim that's associated with the Saramashkim, the Sarhoifim, and the Saratabochim. This is a little bit deep. This paragraph that we're learning now is touching on these Kabbalistic concepts that are mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal, but Rabbeinu Zal is going to make it very clear, and he's going to show us exactly how this applies to us in our eating and abstaining from eating and fasting. Back inside, and when these primary physical desires of achila, when they are mitgaber, when they gain power, we have to bind and hide the back of the holiness, shalayinku, so that these klipos should not be able to attach themselves, grab onto the back, jump on the back of the kedusha, and be able to try to bring it down. Now here, at this point, we're referring to a concept of male and female, zohar and nekeva, a heavenly male and female, which are referred to many times as zeranpin and malchus, zeranpin and nukva de zeranpin. That's the terminology that's used. And both of these have a concept of a front and back. When we started this Torah, we spoke about that when a person is eating properly, they bring about a union, a face-to-face union. When we talk about a face-to-face union, it means that the backs are left uncovered, you know, are left undefended, untouched. The union is taking place face-to-face. However, I've mentioned this in the past sometimes, that when you have two people who are defending against a group, you have two people who are being attacked by 10 people, one of the things that you learn in self-defense is the only way you could possibly defend in such a situation is if the two people position themselves back to back so that there's no back that's left uncovered, unprotected, so that they're facing all 10 people from all sides. There's no back that's being left undefended. Lahavdil, in the Zohar HaKadosh and Sifrei Kabbalah, it speaks about this concept, that when we speak about Hashem and the Shekhinah, Zeranpin and Nukva de Zeranpin, when things are okay, then they strive for a union, a frontal union, face to face. But when the klipos are becoming very strong, very powerful, and there's a potential of them causing major destruction, then at times, Zeranpin and Nukva unite back to back. They attach, they connect back to back, in order that no back is left uncovered, undefended, so that the klipos cannot try to grab on from behind where they draw their strength from. And that's what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here now. That kisharosh yateyo shem klipos mizgabrim, tzorech lahadbik, we have to attach ulahastir and hide achorei hakedusha, the back of the holiness, shelayinku, so that the klipoy should not be able to draw from there. Udvekus achorei hakedusha hial yedei hatainus. The way that we make that happen, the way that we cause Hashem and the Shekhinah to unite in this back-to-back way, so that the back is protected, so that the klipos cannot draw from them, is by fasting. How is this? K'moy shekoisvim shem havayo bebechinas achoraim. This is based on how we write Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei when we're writing it backwards, meaning, Shekoisvim mitchila yud, First, we write the letter Yud, and then instead of going forward and writing a hey, v'yachakach kisharoitzim v'koisvim hey, then when we want to go ahead and write the hey, we don't. We first choizrim l'achoyrayim. We first go back to the beginning, v'koisvim yud hey. We repeat the yud, and we write yud hey. Then when we go on, want to go on to the vav, we don't go on to the vav. We go back to the beginning again, and we write yud hey vav, and so on and so forth. Yud Hei Vav Kei, that's called Achoyrayim. In the Zohar HaKodesh and Sifrei Kabbalah, that format is called Achoyrayim, where we're always going back to the beginning. Before we can go forward, we go back to the beginning. Again, we start with a word, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We start with the letter Yud, but before we can go to Hei, we go back and repeat the Yud and do Yud Hei. Then before we can go to the Vav, we go back again and do Yud Hei Vav. This is called Achoyrayim. So now Rabbi Nazal says, Kain Hatainis. And that's also how fasting works. When a person is fasting, Shehu Iker Hachnoas Shel Asorim Hanal, which is the primary way to subdue and weaken those three officers of Paroi that we spoke about earlier, who bebechinas dveikus achorei hakidusha. We said before, it's by attaching the backs of the holiness. And now Rabbi Nazar is going to explain this. Ki ikur zechus hatainis, the main merit and reward and effectiveness of a fast, einoi elo kishanu choishvin hashois shehischilisanois, is only based on counting the hours that have already gone by, the hours that we've already fasted. Lamashal, for instance, kishemisane shnei yomim, when a person fasts for 2 days, hayoim hasheni, the second day, shehunechsha beyoser, which counts maybe like 10 times as powerful as the first day, einoi machmas atzmoi, it's not drawing its power, its benefit on its own, the reason why that second day is so significant is because we're going back to the first day, because there was a first day in front of it. Then, when you fasted on Monday, and then you go ahead and fast on Tuesday, Tuesday is not just a fast day, Tuesday is a hydrogen bomb, Tuesday is a nuclear thing. Because again, it's the second day. It's because we're counting back from the beginning of the first day. Then that second day is considered a much, much greater merit. That's one explanation. Gam, in addition, Rabbi Nazal says there's another point. Ki ikar kol hadvorim hein haschola. Whenever it comes to anything significant, the main thing is always the beginning, starting it up, the startup. Ki kol hascholois koshois, because the Medrash says all beginnings are difficult. All of us that have learned elementary physics know that you have something called inertia when something is standing still. When you want to change the status of something that's standing still and get it to move, that takes a major push. That takes major energy. When something is moving, in order to keep it moving, that's much easier. But that startup, starting a car, starting a truck, that takes a major, major push of energy. Because we're going from one extreme to the other extreme. We're going from standstill to motion. Aval achar haschola, but once we've started something up, then it becomes sort of habitual. It becomes something that's it's used to going that way. The einoi koshel of kolkach, and it's not that difficult anymore. And so too every single day that as we move away from the starting point, kain nokel hadover, the thing becomes easier, relatively easier. Shenichnas mat behergel, because the person's getting used, they're used to it already. person who decides to cut down on eating, to avoid eating certain foods, for example. In the beginning, when they first want to make that change, it's a may they're used to it. Just yesterday, I had ice cream, and the day before, and now I'm going cold turkey. I decided not. That first day or those first couple of days are extremely difficult because the body's used to it, or coffee, the body's addicted to it. Once the person goes, gets through that beginning, that phase one, phase two usually is much easier. Nimtza. Therefore, we deduce from this, she'ikar koyach ho'avoida shel kol yomim, that the main impetus and the main power of all of our days, of all of our efforts, einoy elo ha'haschola, is all based on the beginning. It's all from the beginning. The starting, that we have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back liyom rishon, to the first day, shehischil lahavin, when the person came to the realization, ulehisanois, and to start this fast. A person who decided to fast for 2 or 3 days, shehu tchilas hatshuva, that was the beginning of their tshuva process. Shoyokoshol of Haschola, whereby the beginning was very difficult, Sheyotza mehepech lehepech, because the person was going from one extreme to the other. Ubechol yoim choizer lachoyrov lekabel koyach mehaschola. And as the person continues, they're drawing energy from that beginning, from that powerful energy that they turned on to start this project. Now, as Rabbeinu Zal wants to point out now, that any undertaking that a person undertakes, we gave the example of a car driving, a car traveling, that kind of thing. The way you, when you start up that car, if it starts up well and properly and everything, then you're traveling, you're driving, it's smooth and well. If there's any problem in the starting up, usually that's going to affect the whole movement, you know, the entire movement subsequently. Because Rabbeinu Zal says the entire movement, the whole process is connected to and draws its energy from the startup. Because whenever you're starting something from scratch, there's a major effort to start the thing up. And the whole process that follows afterwards is an extension of and a continuation of the startup. Umachmas she'elu hasorim hanal heim smuchem ladibur, and because of the fact that these three officers that we mentioned before are close, they're positioned by the top of the food pipe and the windpipe and the vriden, which is right in the area where speech comes from. We know there's what's called hei moitzoi saper. There are five parts of the body from which speech emanates. The tongue, the lips, the teeth, the upper palate, and the throat. All of it really begins in the throat area, the voice box, the larynx. So because these three officers of Paroi, which represent leaders of Klipa, of Tuma, because they're close to where the speech comes from, ukeshemizgabrim, when they gain power, azai mamshichim es hadibur legolus mitzrayim, they drag the speech down spiritually. They drag the speech into the exile of Egypt, Mitzrayim, Bechinas Meitzar Hagoroin, which the Zohar Kodesh and Arizal say that Mitzrayim is associated with the Meitzar Hagoroin, the constriction of the throat, the narrowness of the throat. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Nichar Groini, my throat is dry, my throat is parched, can't speak. When a person's throat is dry, they can't talk. And the Arizal says that the word nichar is bigematria goroin. And the word nichar is those three elikims. And the word nichar is also the word choron, which means anger. Charoinaf means anger. Again, all of these terms representing klipa, tuma, judgment, harshness. So when this happens, when these three offices of power, when these klipos are mizgaber, when the taivos, taivos achila and taivos shtia, become strong, and they draw they draw energy from the person's speech, and the speech is pulled down. And now the person finds that they can't talk to Hashem. Their tefillah, the ability to talk what they really want to talk, which is words of tefillah, suddenly they can't. V'alkein, and therefore, hatainis, by fasting, shemariv esatzmoi, whereby the person starves himself, humamshich meime hachasodim, by doing that, he draws down the waters of chesed, lelachlech hagoroin, to moisten the throat, v'oz yuchaladaber, and then he has the ability to speak. Because the Arizal explains there that these three Elohims actually also represent Chochma, Bina, and Das. And they originate there. And again, when there's constriction, when there's Hisgabros of Klipois, then they're simply their negative forces. But in their origin of holiness, these three Elohims actually represent a flow of chesed that's supposed to come down from Chochma, Bina, and Das to go down into the mouth, into the throat area, and travel further down throughout the body. Now, we'll see soon, Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss it soon, the word ra'av. Vezeh bechinas, and this is what the pasuk refers to. When it says, Vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. Hainu bechinas tainis. Ra'av means abstaining, not eating, not drinking. Shemari v'satzmoy, when a person decides to fast, the person is starving himself. Vezehu dveikus achorei hakedusha. We said before that that's what enables the holiness to unite in the form of back-to-back, which is a tremendous defensive position to when the klipois are strong, not to allow the klipois, not to leave any back uncovered, available for the klipois to draw from. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, ki havaya Elohim bechinas achorayim mispar ra'av. Because when we take the two major names of Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and Elohim, and when we format each name backwards, it forms the word ra'av, which means famine, fasting, starvation. Take a look at this. Ki shem havaya ba'achorayim, Hashem's name Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, backwards, meaning dahainu, first Yud, then Yud-Hei, then Yud-Hei-Vav, then Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei, Oile Ayin Beis. It equals 72. If you laid it up, 10 plus 15 plus 21 plus 26 equals 72. That's the Ayin Beis of the word Ra'av. V'shem Elohim Bachorayim, and Hashem's name Elohim, when you write it backwards, Kozeh, like this, first Aleph, then Aleph Lamed, then Aleph Lamed Hey, then Aleph Lamed Hey Yud, Oile Reish. It adds up to 200, which is the letter Reish. Ushnehem Yachad Oilem Ra'av. Together, they form the word Ra'av, which means to abstain from eating and drinking. So we see that when a person abstains from eating and drinking, by doing that, they take Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and Elohim and form them in a backwards position. Achorayim. That's the Reish and the Ayin Beis. The Reish is Elohim Bachorayim. The Ayin Beis is Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Bachorayim. And now look what the Pasuk says. It started off, Vayihi Ra'av Boretz. There was a famine in the land. Vayered Avraham Mitzroimon. And Avraham, who is always the Ish HaChesed, Avraham Avinu always represents kindness. Hainu Chayrodas Meime HaChasodim. This refers to the coming down, the drawing down of the waters of Chesed, Lelachlech Meitzer Hagorein, to moisten the constriction of the throat. lohoitzies hagoroin mebechinas nichar groini, to take the throat out of this status of being a dry throat. Bebechinas, as the pasuk continues there, holoich venasoya hanegba, that Avram Avinu was traveling towards south. And the word negba means south. The word negiva also means dryness. Lenagevet hayodayim means to dry your hands. Holoich venasoya, he's moving hanegba, to moisten the dryness. Lehiskayim, to fulfill the pasuk in Yeshaya Novi, kro begoroin al tachsoich, cry out with your throat, don't hold back, meaning the throat is no longer dry, the tefillah is no longer being held back, but rather it's able to break loose, to come forth in full strength. The oz, and then, kishenizdapkin achoyrei hakedusha, when the backs of the holiness are attached to each other, are united, so that the klipois cannot get in there and draw power and draw energy, and then the face of the holiness is revealed. Because again, when the kedusha is frontless, face to face, when the two faces are facing each other, then they're not visible. You're looking at it as on a side view, you can't see the faces because they're facing each other and they're attached. When they're back to back, the face on both sides is revealed. V'oz nizgalin haponim shel kedusha. Then the face of the kedusha is revealed. V'oz, the pasuk continues there, vayiru oiso sore paroi. The paroi's officials saw her. Who did they see? They saw Sarah, the wife of Avram Avinu. Hainu she'elu hasorim royim es yoifi hoid hadibur. These officers, these leaders of Klipa, see the beauty of the speech, of the dibur. Sarah represents malchus, which is speech. We've mentioned many times. There's a Gemara that says, dabor echod lador, one leader in a generation. The word dabor means leader, melech, a ruler, and the word dibur means speech. So Sara, who is Miloshin Sar, Srora, rulership, represents dibur. So now these Sore Paroi, these officers of Paroi, see the beauty of the dibur, via Halleluoiso Paroi, and they praised her to Paroi. They told Paroi that Avram Avinu brought this beautiful woman with him. However, all of this is being done intentionally by Hashem. Hashem is engineering this whole thing in order to remove from their mouths that which they've already swallowed up, these klipos, these forces of tumah. Bechinas, as we quoted earlier, the pasuk from Koheles, Eis asher sholat ha'odom bodom l'raloi. There are times when a person is ruling over another person, seemingly, but actually it's to their disadvantage. They end up getting defeated in the process. As the pasuk says there, Vayenaga Hashem es Paroi. Hashem afflicted Paroi and his whole household. They were all struck with constipation. So again, it looked as if they had captured the flag. They had captured Sarah, this holiness, but in the end, she brought about a major downfall to all of them. And this is why there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Isha yiras Hashem, hi tishalol. The woman who has fear of Hashem, she is praiseworthy. Bechinas vayahalalu oiso es el paroi. This connects back to the pasuk we quoted earlier. They praised her to paroi. Ein ze elo bishvil, but what's the result of that? What does the pasuk say right after that in Mishlei? Tnula mipri yodeho. And as a result, give her the fruit of her hands. Meaning, Hainu lohoitzi nitzoitzois hakedusha mibeinayim. Sara, the Shechina, the Dibur, ends up extracting holy sparks from the klipois. It seems as if the klipois have swallowed her up. But in actuality, she ends up going in there and extracting from them all kinds of holy sparks. Kishihi moitzio kol chiyuso mibein haklipois. She removes her whole life force from the klipois, and now the klipois are left without energy. Azai mashlichin kol ho'akum eselilehem. Then what happens is, all of the idol worshippers end up rejecting their idols, throwing it away. Poinim kulam le'emunas Yisrael. And they all turn to the faith of the Jewish people, likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. To, as the pasuk says, all of them will call out in the name of Hashem. V'ze ikar kishutei ho'emuna. This is the real beautification of emuna. This is the real beauty and glory of Hashem. When the Shekhinah, when the Dibur has the ability to draw others, those who are originally far from Emunah, far from Hashem, to bring them close to Emunah. This was not easy. Again, this is Rabbeinu Zal here is going into the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal, and he's discussing the terminology that's used there and showing us how it applies to a Jew who's trying to serve Hashem. He's trying to daven to Hashem. And unfortunately, his taivas achila and everything hold him back. They block his tefillah from being really able to go out there. We know, for example, in the laws of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, a person should not eat nuts at that time, when before davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, especially the Chazan, because nuts are one of the things that gets stuck in the throat and make it difficult for a person's voice to really come forth, you know, in full power. So we see in general this concept of achila and shtia, when it's done properly, it helps the person. When it's done improperly, it weakens the person, and especially it could weaken the dibur. Any questions up to this point?
Is that concept of Sarah, which is Malchus, exactly, which is the hay, which comes through in terms of Ita Sher Shalat Adam Badam Laralo, Sarah went in, she was conquered, but in the end, she ended up uncovering from it.
Exactly. This is one of the examples. This theme is presented in several chapters on Likut Imran, and again, it's presented in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that there are many instances where the forces of Tumah are being successful over a period of time. They're drawing, they're swallowing up holy sparks, mitzvahs, kedusha, all kinds of stuff, until at one point a tzaddik comes along, or the Shekhinah comes along, and allows itself to be sucked in, seemingly, into the Sitra Achra, but really only for the sake of bringing about the defeat of the Sitra Achra. This is the concept of paratroopers in an army. The guys who go behind enemy lines, and from inside there, they bring about the defeat of the enemy, or they go on a rescue mission. They go into the enemy territory to be able to rescue from there, to extract from there and rescue from there, you know, hostages, things that have been held by the enemy, by the opposing forces for a period of time, and they're going in and rescuing them. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zeh b'chinas, this is tied into another description in the Zohar HaKadosh of the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem, the Malchus. It's referred to as Ulimto Shapirto Deles Lo'ainen, a beautiful maiden that has no eyes. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ulimto Shapirto Zebechinas Emuna. This is actually referring to the aspect of faith. Faith in Hashem, Bechinas. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Yofo At Rayosi. You are beautiful, my beloved. Now we know the word Rayosi is associated with Emuna. If you recall, we quoted earlier a Pasuk, Shchon Eretz Ure'ei Emuna. Be nourished with emuna, faith. The term rayosi is similar to that ure'ei. So the rayosi here refers again to the Shekhinah, which is referred to as emuna. Bechinas ure'ei emuna. Deles lo'ainen, which has no eyes. Hainu elu hakushyus hanal. This refers to those questions, she'ein la'ayin bohem, which we are not allowed to look into. We're not allowed to research. We're not allowed to delve into them. V'tzorech lechazek bemunasoi. But rather, we have to fortify ourselves with faith. This is why, for example, when we say Shema Yisrael, when we declare our faith in Hashem, we cover our eyes. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to show that we believe in Hashem even though we don't see. And we believe even though there are things we don't understand, we cannot understand, we don't care. We're not interested in looking into those things. Now the Zohar HaKadosh continues, Gufa Timirto V'Iskali. Her body is concealed, hidden, and revealed. Kihi tmira, because on one hand, she is concealed, the emuna is hidden. Kiim tishal es hamam en ezet tam be'emuna, because if you will ask a believer to explain, to justify their faith, vadai eino yochul lohoshiv l'chotam, he cannot rationalize his faith. Because the term faith, to believe, applies to situations which you don't understand fully, which you can't rationalize. V'afal pikein, and even though it's hidden, we don't see, we can't understand, still vigalia, it's clear, as it's revealed. Hainu, she'etzel hamam, and by the believer, by the person who believes, hadovor golui. To that person, it's clear as day. It's as if he sees with his eyes that thing that he believes in. Because of how great and complete and perfect the faith is. Nafkes betzafra, she comes out in the morning, umiskasya biyamama, and is hidden by day, covered up during the day. Because our faith is renewed every morning. We say, we say it every day, that our emuna is increased. However, it gets covered during the day, because of all the burdens of daily existence, we get involved in going out to work and eating and drinking, sleeping. Niskaso emuna. And during those times, the emuna is covered up. It's not as visible. It's not as clear. When we get up in the morning, we say moidani. We don't eat. We abstain from eating until we first pray, until we first daven. And when we daven, we put on talis and tefillin. There the emuna is revealed. This is hischachus in emuna. But then afterwards, during the day, it's not as revealed. And now the Zohar HaKadosh continues, Miskashtas Bekishutin Delohavi. She adorns herself in adornments that were not, meaning, Hainu Iker Kishute Emuna. The main beautification and adornment of the Emuna is Kishemekarven Etzla Bnei Adam Shalohoyim Krovla. When we bring her new customers, when we bring new clients, when we bring people who are not believers before, and they become believers. We'll hold it over here for now. In the next piece, Rabbi Nazal is going to connect the emuna and the achila much more clearly. Keep in mind that we're in deep waters now a little bit, and when a person hears some of this for the first time, it's strange and it's, but everything here fits, everything makes perfect sense. There are psukim and gemara, and the more you learn about these concepts, they'll become more familiar, and you'll understand better how all of this fits together beautifully. All the best. A wonderful week, a healthy summer to all, and please keep in touch, all of you. All the best.